Well, let us turn again then to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 14. Now, what has happened between the good deed of Mary? What has happened between that good deed and the denial of Peter, of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, after the good deed of Mary, we read of the room being prepared, where was instituted, as it were, the Lord's Supper on the night of the Passover. And we note that when they had sung a hymn, verse 26, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And it is as they go out to the Mount of Olives that we have this bold assertion of the Apostle Peter. Christ explains that ye shall all be offended this night because of me. And he goes on to tell them, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But we see the response of Peter to these words of the Lord. Peter has a bold affirmation in verse 29. Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And this is bold indeed, because he, as it were, in this affirmation of loyalty, of staunchness to the Lord, compares himself to all of the other apostles and disciples around about. Although all shall be offended, all of these, although all of these be offended, yet I will not be offended. You know, we often think too highly of ourselves. And this is what happened here with the Apostle Peter. What was he saying? He was saying, I am the stoutest defender of the Lord. I am the strongest disciple. I will defend the Lord and his cause no matter what should come to pass. And you know, sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves. We all fall into that trap. We all see ourselves as the stoutest defender of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we have here really of Peter is a boast of loyalty. Peter here, we all know what Peter was like. He wore his heart on his sleeve. Peter here cannot imagine himself at all ever denying the Lord Jesus Christ. So before we consider these things, let's apply this to ourselves. Surely we can all say this. Surely we can never imagine an occasion that would cause us to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Back home with my old dentist, I had the same dentist from when I was a boy until we left home last year. And on the ceiling of this dentist was a map of the world. So every time you went in, you were just looking at all of these countries of the world. And as we consider some of those countries, we think of Iraq, we think of Afghanistan, we think of Iran, we think of China, we think of North Korea. Think of Afghanistan, as it's been in our news all week. Think of the Christians there. Would we be brought to a denial of Christ if we found ourselves in such a situation as those Christians? Well, let us really examine ourselves as we consider these verses. Firstly, we have the denial predicted. The denial predicted in verse 30 and 31. What was Christ's response to Peter's boast? And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow, twice thou shalt deny me thrice. The Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, here checks Peter in his boast. No sooner had Peter said, Yet will not I, The Lord Jesus predicts, you will. You will deny me 3 times. This teaches us that such self-reliance and independence is something that is repugnant to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Savior. He sees such self-reliance as foolishness. Remember elsewhere in the Gospels, he reminded the disciples that without me, ye can do nothing. And you know, when we have such self-reliance in ourselves, we deny that statement of Christ, that without me, ye can do nothing. Our Savior, as it were, marks Peter's card here for him. Verily I say unto thee. Peter had compared himself to all of the other disciples. Although they deny thee, I won't. But now the Lord Jesus directs his speech to Peter alone. Unto thee. You, Peter, have this day so confidently asserted your loyalty, your allegiance to me. But, that's what it's like. But, I say, you shall utterly deny me. This is what Christ here speaks in verse 31. Sorry, in verse 30. He says, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Greek conveys to us an utter denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just a denial, but it is a disowning. Peter would actually disown Christ when questioned of his allegiance with Christ. So it is a very strong warning of desertion, that he would desert Christ when, as it were, the shepherd will be smitten. He will be scattered. Peter will deny and desert the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we should note that this is a gracious warning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when the Lord confronts Peter with this truth that he will deny him, we ought to consider it as a gracious word. It is a gracious word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in this most certain prediction of denial, there is a gracious warning for Peter. What is that warning? Well, it is to watch and pray. You see, in verse 38, Christ goes on to tell them, because Simon Peter was sleeping in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asked them to pray a while with them. What's he saying in verse 38 when he catches them sleeping? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So here, even before Christ warns them to watch and pray, he gives Peter, in particular, a gracious warning of what lay before him. Peter was then to be mindful of this temptation that was to come. You know, Peter did not go into this blind. We cannot say that Peter was caught off guard when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, but because the Savior has set this temptation before him, this will come your way. He graciously warns him. So Peter did not go into this blind, but dear congregation, he went into it prayerlessly. We read of no occasion of Peter praying, and yet he was told to pray a little while with Christ. And what did he do instead of praying? He fell asleep. He fell asleep. So he did not go into it blind, but he did go into it prayerlessly. He had been taught, had he not, in another place, that simple prayer, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. You see, Peter should have realized when the Lord Jesus said to him that you will deny me thrice, he should have realized the great possibility of this coming to pass. And he should have set himself to prayer. He should have sought the Lord, lead me not into temptation. But he goes forth prayerlessly into the temptation. But in verse 31, we have a denial of the predicted denial. But he spake the more vehemently. This is the character of Peter, remember. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all, more vehemently. We know that this is the character of Peter, and it is much to be admired. Remember, Peter was the only one who had faith to step outside of the boat. Peter, as his character was, went beyond what was necessary. He was excessive here in his response. The Lord says, you are going to deny me. And then he vehemently said, no, I won't. Even if I will die. You see the self-confidence that Peter had in his own confessing? He was excessive in his response. He wore his heart on his sleeve. He says, I will not deny thee in any wise. He was saying to the Saviour, there is no circumstance that could arise. There is nothing that I can imagine that would bring me to deny you. You must be wrong. That's what he's saying here to Christ. No chance of denial. Not even death will cause me to deny thee. And we read here at the last clause of verse 31. Likewise also said they all. Now here we have a lesson for all of us, even those of us who do not have the characteristics of Peter, maybe a bit quieter than what Peter was. We see that they all agreed with Peter. Likewise also said they all. But look at verse 50, congregation. And they all forsook him and fled. You see, it's a warning for us all. Not just Peter was self-confident, but they all had a sense of self-confidence. And as I said to begin with, none of us can imagine ourselves denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we point the finger at Peter, we ought to consider how many fingers are pointing back at ourselves. That is the denial predicted. Secondly, we have the denial itself. And we have, firstly, the place of the denial. Verse 54. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. So we find him then in the courtyard of the high priest. He had followed the Lord Jesus after he had been arrested by the band of officers and those from the temple. Peter followed behind, saw where they had taken him, and then sought entry into the courtyard. And we read that he sat. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself in the fire. Peter was making himself at home with the servants and officers. And no doubt some of these who sat around the fire were those who had just arrested the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, quite conveniently, sets himself down with those who arrested Christ. And he warms himself at the fire. Now, we can say here that Peter is warming himself with the world. He is making himself comfortable with the haters of Christ. No doubt it was cold and he needed to be warm. But you see, he aligns himself here with those who arrested Christ, with the world. And there is dangers in that in and of itself. A Christian out of comfort cannot align themselves with the world. We cannot sit with the haters of Christ. What fellowship hath light with darkness? And this word here, translated fire, is the Greek word phos. And it is mainly translated as light. It is the word for light in the New Testament. And this teaches us here, dear congregation, that fire has light as well as heat. And as Peter sat at the fire with the world, the light of the fire shone in his face, identifying him with those of the world. What was Peter doing, children? Peter was exposing himself with the company that he kept. And we need to be wise, we need to be careful with the company that we keep. That doesn't mean that we can't be friends with non-Christians. Of course we can. But we cannot run with the world in the ways of the world in order to have comfort. What do? We expose ourselves to the world. We expose ourselves to circumstances that may arise, that may tempt us to deny Christ. Peter was here exposing himself. And there was no hiding place around this fire. He couldn't hide. He was exposed by the light of the fire. And we see the consequences of this. Verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, so he was still in the fire, he was still exposed, and the maid saw him. And this gave occasion to the temptation that was set before him to deny Christ. She looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. So he stuck out like a sore thumb as one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice here, dear congregation, that it was a maid, not a band of officers and soldiers. You see where Peter has gone from? What did Peter do when the band of soldiers came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ? He took out his sword and he cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And Jesus had to mend that ear. He was ready to go to war with 900 men or more. He was unafraid, unshaken. But he was trusting in the Lord. And now we see that he is now self-reliant, no longer trusting in the Lord. And it's not a band of soldiers who shakes Peter. It's a wee maid. A wee maid shakes Peter. Calvin remarked, "There is no necessity for many forces or implements of war to overpower a man, for any man who is not supported by the hand of God will instantly fall by a slight gale or the rustling of a fallen leaf." Here Peter is shaken by the rustling of a fallen leaf, a little maid. Think again on verse 29. What did he say? "Yet will not I." Self-reliant. "I will not deny thee." And here he is being shaken by a little maid. That is the place of his denial, around the fire with the world. But secondly, we have the affirmation of the denials themselves. We must note the assertiveness with which Peter continually maintains his denial of Christ. He maintains it as if it was truth itself. He asserts his denial just like he asserted himself in verse 29. He makes no bones about it. Just as he affirms his loyalty and excessively displayed it on his sleeve in verse 31, so he also denies any knowledge of Christ with the same assertiveness as he did when he said he would not deny him. Look at the first denial, verse 68. "But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew." You see here the first denial of Christ. He is refusing to be acquainted in any way with Christ. "I know not, neither I understand what thou sayest." I'm not acquainted with this Jesus of Nazareth. I deny any acquaintance with him. And we read that he went out. Why did he go out, children? Because the fire got too hot. And that's what happens to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they sit around the fire with the world, when they seek to conform with the world, when they sit with those scoffers that we read of in Psalm 1, it gets too hot for them. It gets too hot for them. And so it got too hot here for Peter. He went out. But we have the second denial in verse 69 and 78. And the maid saw him again, the same maid, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. He denied it again. The maid began to rehearse from the beginning all that she had said the first time. So she had followed, as it were, Peter out from the fire into the porch. And she rehearsed it, talking not to Peter this time. She did not address him, but she addressed others that were round about. And verse 70 conveys to us in the Greek a continual repeating of his denial to others. So as the maid said to others, this is one of them, she said it to them all. The Greek conveys to us that Peter denied it to each one. I deny it. I deny it. I deny it. He couldn't deny it enough to those people who the maid spoke to. And in Matthew 26 and verse 72, we read that this denial was accompanied by an oath. What does that say? What does that mean? Did he say, as the Lord liveth? I do not know this man. As the Lord liveth, I don't know him. It's quite a fearful thought, isn't it? That an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ could be brought to such a place. But then we have the third denial in verse 70 and 71. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, so they that had heard her, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. You see the downward spiral here of Peter. This word that is recorded here, that he began to curse and to swear. This word has the notion of calling curses down upon oneself if the thing being stated was not true. So what he's saying is, I do not know him. And if that statement is not true, then I am cursed before God. You see the depths to which Peter has gone here? We rightly say to yourself, is this Peter? Is this an account of this apostle who stood before a band of soldiers at the rustling of a leaf? He's not only denied Christ, but he's denied him with an oath, and now he's denied him with curses upon himself. What an affirmation of denial we have here from the Apostle Peter. But thirdly, we have the denial remembered. The denial remembered. Verse 72. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Firstly, Peter remembers the denial predicted. We have the denial predicted, of course, in verse 30. And Peter here remembers the word that Jesus said unto him. Now, in remembering the instance of Christ's words to him, Peter is brought back to his self-pride and boasting. The word of Christ, as it were, pulls back the veil of the heart and searches the heart of this apostle And he has brought to an end of himself. He sees the foolishness of his ways. He sees that the Lord was right. That he was filled with self-pride and boasting. With rash remarks of independence and self-reliance. In his excessive denial of Christ's very words to him. Remember these words that he now remembers Christ spoke to him. He had denied. Verse 31, but he spake more vehemently. What did he say? If I should die, I will not deny thee. You must be wrong. And here he is brought to an end of himself in remembering the words of Christ. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing, dear congregation, when a man or a woman are brought to the end of themselves in the remembrance of the word of Christ. Whether they be a believer who has gone out of the way, they hear the word of their master. And the word of the master is sharp and smites the heart, but it's for their good. Or an unbeliever who has sat under the gospel many a times, heard the word of Christ, and they come and they remember Christ's word to them. And they close in with Christ. The time for denial has come to an end with this remembrance of the words of Christ. Peter, as I have said, has been exposed to his own heart. The heights of his self-sufficiency has come crashing down to the ground. And you see, this must happen, dear congregation. This has to happen when we think too highly of ourselves. When we elevate ourselves in self-sufficiency. If we belong unto Christ, it will come crashing down. God must keep us from falling. God must have the glory. You see, when we think too highly of ourselves, we run the risk of taking all the glory for ourselves when the glory belongs unto God. We read here, he thought thereon, the last clause of verse 72. This conveys to us here a casting upon the ground. Peter was in an agony of his soul. And it's more evident now with his physical frame. And when he thought thereon, he wept. We have this recorded for us also in Matthew 26, in verse 75. Matthew 26 and verse 75, we read, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. What is being conveyed to us here is that he commenced with a burst of sorrow. And then there was continual sorrow, continual bitterness and weeping. A continual action in stark contrast with his continual denial. Dear congregation, we need to see him in his weeping. We need to see what a sorry figure Peter has come in the remembrance of the word of Christ. It has brought him to a place of conviction. He has been exposed to his own self-reliance. Look at him now. Look at him. Do you see what happens to us when we take our eyes off Christ? He took his eyes off Christ when he stepped out of the boat. He started to sink. He took his eyes off Christ at the trial of Christ, and he denied him thrice. And look at him now. This is where we end up. It must come crashing down in bitterness of weeping. A sorry figure now gripped in sorrowful, but thankfully in godly repentance. But we must note the denial remembered in the record of Scripture. Remember Mary, verse 9,
Last Lord's Day evening, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Dear congregation, it is the same gospel. It is the same remembrance. Just as the good deed of Mary is remembered, so is the denial of the Apostle Peter. But it is remembered for our profit and for our good. It is remembered for a warning to us. These things are written for our profit. So here we are warned about self-reliance and self-confidence, of taking our eyes off the Lord. And here we are exhorted to watch and to pray, lest we enter into such temptation. Peter's fall here mirrors our own infirmity, our own tendency. Therefore, we should mark it, we should remember it, and we should use it for our sanctification. Well, what further lessons can we quickly use of this text for ourselves? Firstly, the need for us to pray. Lead me not into temptation. Remember, Peter had been warned of the denial, and he took no heed. He remained prayerless. We have also been warned in this account that denial of Christ is possible for the Christian. That's what we're being taught here. Remember what I remarked as we commenced? Surely we cannot imagine an occasion where we would deny Christ. And I trust we wouldn't, because we would be trusting upon the grace of Christ and not upon ourselves. But here we have in Peter that it is possible for a Christian to deny Christ. But will we be wise and pray? Lead us not into this temptation. Peter had a great adversary who sought to have him and to sift him as wheat. And he used a maid. And that adversary that Peter had, we also have. And here he uses a maid. You know, dear congregation, the maid's aim was not denial. The maid's aim was to get Peter to say that he was a disciple of Christ. But the devil's aim was for Peter to deny Christ. And he used this maid to accomplish his aim. Temptation for denial came to Peter in different forms. Three different forms we had here. Firstly, it came as a direct question. Verse 67, the maid asked him directly, and he denied. Secondly, he overheard the talking of others. Verse 69, and that caused him to deny Christ. Thirdly, his characteristics give him away. We read that, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Dear friends, for us in the world, it should be, and thou art a Christian, and thy speech has given you away to me. We should expect this. Why? Because our conversation should be heavenly conversation, godly conversation. Men should know by our conduct that we are Christians. May our speech give us away. Because if it does, that means that we are living right. And we are being identified rightly as Christians. But this may give occasion for us to be tempted to deny Christ. So we need to take heed to watch and to pray. But the second use is that of the Word of God. The Word of God brings repentance. In verse 72, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, and when he thought thereon, he wept. The word of Christ is synonymous with the word of God.
And it was the word of God that he remembered, and remembering the words of Christ, he thought thereon. The word of Christ was upon his mind. That teaches us, dear friends, of the importance of knowing, of hearing, and of reading the word of God. Having the word of God constantly before us, constantly upon our mind, the word of God pressed upon the conscience, brings a man and woman to repentance. It broke Peter. It showed Peter his own heart, the error of his own ways. The Spirit no doubt impressed these words upon Peter, because you know we do need the Spirit's work in applying the word of God to our consciences and to our hearts. You know, remember, it was the second time that the cock crew. So the cock had already crowed, we could say, the first time. And yet Peter went on to deny Christ again, didn't he? So it wasn't the cock crowing, as it were, but it was his remembrance of the word of God. In Luke 22 and verse 61, we have Luke's account of this. And Luke adds this: the Lord looked upon Peter. The Lord looked upon Peter as the cock crew the second time. And one remarked, it was no ordinary look, since he had already looked on Judas, who became none the better of it. Remember, Judas went to arrest Christ. He kissed him to identify him, and Christ looked at Judas. It didn't bring Judas to repentance. What does that teach us? We go on here and read, but with the turning of his eyes on Peter, there went the secret power of the Spirit, piercing his heart with the radiance of his grace. The fearful look of Christ. Oh, for the look of Christ upon our hearts. Surely that's what we ought to desire. He looked upon Judas, didn't bring Judas to repentance. He looked upon Peter, and the work of the Spirit smote Peter to the heart. Oh, may Christ so look upon us and bring us to such a place as Peter, to godly repentance. That phrase at the end pierced his heart with the radiance of his grace. What else would we want to pierce our hearts but the grace of Jesus Christ in bringing us to repentance? But thirdly and finally, we have the grace of God. Verse 71, remember this last denial, dear congregation. It was with curses and swearing. He was bringing a curse down upon himself. He vehemently denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we turn to John 21 and verse 15, we read of a later encounter of the risen Jesus with Peter. And we see here the grace of God. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. How many times, children, does he ask Peter this, lovest thou me? He asks him three times. How many times did Peter deny Christ? Three times. So in this denial of Christ, we have remembered or set before us the grace of God. For we know that the risen Saviour came specifically to Peter. Go and tell Peter also. And then he spoke to Peter. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? In the remembrance of this denial, the hope of pardon is ever held out to us. That's what we have in it. The hope of pardon. One may object and say he denied with oaths and curses One writer helped here. He said, Peter sinned through weakness and not through incurable malice. You see, the Lord knows our weakness. What did he say to Peter beforehand? Satan hath sought to have you, to sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you all already. You see, Peter may have denied Christ here, but Christ had already prayed for Peter's preservation. Peter in his denial did not utterly fall from the grace of Christ. He was preserved. Why? Because Christ had prayed for him already. And what does Christ do for us now in heaven? Before God, he ever lives to make intercession for us. We who are as weak as Peter, Christ has prayed for us already. Surely that's an encouragement for us in the face of this denial. A comfort to us. God is a God of grace. Therefore, we should repent of our sins. Let us not leave our sins unrepented of, dear congregation. We would never have forgiven Peter for such a betrayal, would we? But Jesus Christ, who knew that he would deny him, who knew that he would be faced with this temptation, prayed for him before the denial and forgave him after the denial. In this denial remembered, we have set before us the grace of Christ unto his people. Well, may the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts. Let us pray.